The Bible and Modern Science with your host, Dr. Joseph Henson of the Science Faculty of Bob Jones University. Here is Dr. Henson.
Thank you. We have been discussing some of the undesirable effects of insects, and on our last program, we had talked primarily about the effects on plants. There is one other general area that may be of some interest, and you may or may not have personal knowledge of it, but it has to do with insect attacks on stored foods. We've talked about other products, but not foods particularly. And almost any kind of food that you and I would eat can be attacked by some insects. Meat, cheese, milk products, flour, meal, cereals, stored grain, nuts, fruits, etc., plus others. In many cases, the insects really don't do a lot of damage. In some cases, they may be tunneling. They may be chewing their way around through it. They really don't destroy much of it. They may not even leave a desirable taste, but most folks would turn up their nose at some kind of food that has had a insect tunnel in it. I would expect you not to be happy about taking a bite out of an apple and after you have chewed it discovering there is half a worm still left in the apple. So all sorts of things of that sort, that there are cases where the food is actually damaged and there are toxic products or fecal material or other things left behind that conceivably could cause problems, but not always. There are probably a dozen or more insects that historically have caused a great deal of damage. There is the Anguillomoy grain moth. If you live up in the Midwest and have occasion to store corn particularly, this is a pest that you're going to have to take precautions against. Or when you come get your corn, you'll find little holes all the way through it. Weevils can do the same thing. The Indian meal moth, the Mediterranean flower moth, Mediterranean fruit fly. These are primarily on live fruits, not stored ones. One called the confused flower beetle. Interesting name. I won't pursue the reason for it. It doesn't mean the beetle is confused. It means something else. But there are granary and rice weevils. There is a capra beetle that is particularly troublesome in under certain circumstances. Sawtooth grain beetle, flour mites. Some of these will attack the whole grain. They just eat everything. Some cases they just dig little holes in it, eat the inside out, and cause tremendous damage nutritionally to the food, aside from the unsightly or potentially unhealthy effects that are there as well. There are bean and pea weevils, and the larder beetle, the cheese skipper, various and sundry mites, drugstore beetles are one very interesting to me. Also one very similar called cigarette beetle. These are insects that attack primarily and live in dried materials. For example, the cigarette beetle or drugstore beetle can live in dried hot peppers. They can live in cigarettes, that is tobacco, or pepper. Now, I don't know how that idea strikes you, but think for a moment about that. I don't know whether you happen to like hot pepper or not. There is hot pepper and there is hot pepper. And when the pepper in the food gets to the point that you cease tasting the food and only are aware of the effects of the hot pepper, I draw a line someplace. But if that's all that's there, think for a moment about the insect itself and what characteristics would allow it to survive under those circumstances. Very little moisture, for example, and chemicals there that cause the hotness that apparently really don't have much effect on the insects. But any of those things occur reasonably commonly, much more commonly than we would like. There are protections against all of them. But in this day, when folks look askance at the idea of insecticides and other such chemicals, it gets very troublesome sometimes trying to protect things against these kinds of insects. Now, if all it involves is a container of whatever flour in your cupboard, you can go toss the box out or the stuff in the container and going about your business. But if you're looking at large volumes of this, then the insects have a potential to do a great deal of damage. Now, there is another area that is of immense importance. To this point, we have talked basically about plants, but there is also the effect of insects on man and animals. This ranges from annoyance or irritation to death. I don't know how much the average person really appreciates the matter of insect annoyance. Now, you may have been out in a cookout in the backyard some evening and you were bothered by the flies buzzing around or the mosquitoes or whatever. I still remember an experience that several of us had when we were in graduate school. We were conducting some research on chicken lice, and in order to do the experiment, we had to be sure the chicken we were working with had lice. That in turn meant that we had to get a supply of chicken lice. So we finally found a man who raised chickens, whose chickens obviously were infested with lice. So one of the group dreamed up a Rube Goldberg apparatus, and we went out to the man's farm. The apparatus involved a plastic sheet that had a hose running from the sheet to a carbon dioxide container. So we would get the chicken, grab its head and legs, stick its hind end down over the plastic sheet, and turn on the carbon dioxide. As you may or may not know, this is a nice anesthetic for the lice. So we'd turn it on, the lice would be anesthetized, we'd rub the feathers, if there were any on the bottom of the chicken, shake them off into the plastic sheet, and then shake the sheet off into the jar where we were collecting lice. I just went on all morning. Lunchtime came, and we took ourselves to a local cafe. I am certain the proprietor of that cafe was immensely happy when we left. Now, all of this to get to this point. While we were shaking lice off, we got some too. Now, these were not bloodsuckers. They were chewing lice that simply chew. They feed on the feathers on the chicken, so they were not going to suck blood or bite our hairs. But that was hopefully the only time in my life where I had the experience of having dozens of little creatures crawling around on my skin, under my clothing, in my hair. And we spent the whole meal chasing lice on ourselves. And the people that were eating there, I'm sure, wondered what in the world was going on. But I had never before experienced the annoyance of having almost minuscule insects crawling all over your body. And I assure you, it is not something which anyone would want to endure very long. Now, you can translate that to a little bit more important level, where you have insects that are bloodsuckers. Flies, certain of the blood-sucking flies on cows, for example. So there is this factor of annoyance or irritation with varying degrees. I remember reading the amount of blood that the horn flies, bad infestations of horn flies, can remove from a cow in a day. And it seems to me it's something like a quart of blood per day where the infestation is bad. Now, not only is that going to be an irritation, but there will be physiological damage also because of that constant blood loss. So if they're beef animals, then they're going to lose weight. If they're milk, used for their milk, they're not going to produce milk. So in a variety of ways, these things can be of increasing importance. It happens that I did my doctoral dissertation on face flies, Musca autumnalis. If I were to show you one, most folks could not tell the difference between that and a house fly. They look very similar. There are some differences that if you're working with them, you would notice. But they are troublesome primarily on cows, although they will bother other animals as well. And as the name implies, they will simply congregate around the eye or the nose of the animal. Now, one of the effects of this is that particularly around the eyes, they will stimulate then a discharge of liquid from the eye, partly mucus, partly other stuff. This runs down the face of the cow. That attracts more flies. So you're going to have cows that have, in bad cases, dozens of flies crawling in and out and around their eyes and their nose. Now, this means that they simply are going to spend a great deal of their time responding to that annoyance. They don't suck blood. For the most part, they don't transmit disease. There's some argument over whether they can transmit pink eye or not, I think. I'm not sure that's been established. But at any rate, it just has an effect on the animal. And if you do not take precautions to prevent that continuing effect, then you're simply going to have difficulties with either loss of weight or lack of milk production. Now, another type of damage that insects often can cause are by the venomous insects. There are many insects whose bodies produce chemicals that are toxic to the human body. Sometimes they are biters. I think, for example, of fire ants. Sometimes they are stingers, bees, wasps, etc., scorpions, not insects, obviously, but arthropods, with varying effects. If you have an allergic reaction to that toxin, you can be dead in 5 minutes. Now, most of the time, there is not that effect, so it's not critical in the sense of there being a time frame. Can cause some difficulties, but they can usually be handled. There are some that will produce a chemical that you can get on your skin and have it be toxic. So this is another area of potential damage. Now, probably a more important area would be that of parasitism. We certainly do not have time to talk about this a great deal here, but insects can carry parasites that will affect both man and animals, and this can be up to the level of death. Many of the effects are short of that, but it simply is another very, very important area where insects have a deleterious effect on man or animals.
Thank you, Dr. Henson. You may send email to Dr. Henson at jhenson@bju.edu. That's jhenson at bju.edu. Or write to Dr. Joseph L. Henson, Box 34621, Bob Jones University, Greenville, South Carolina, zip code 29614, in the United States of America. You're invited to listen next time for The Bible and Modern Science.